Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. It's great to see everyone. I got several introductions to make this morning. The first thing I want to do is officially welcome Stephen and Roxanne Little to Gwinnett. They've joined our full-time staff and are going to be working on our campus ministry. And also Roxanne's mom and sister are visiting. They drove up with them from Florida. Welcome to Gwinnett. I'd also like to introduce to us this morning a sister who's going to be moving down here from the church in Chicago. She and her husband, I believe, were converted about a year ago in the church in Chicago. She's down this weekend looking at houses. Betty Brown, welcome to Atlanta. Also with us this morning is Peter and Caroline Sterling. They serve as evangelist and women's ministry leader in the church in Houston. Peter is Huntley's brother, and they're here with us from Houston this morning. Welcome to Atlanta. Can I have you guys stand up? It's great to see you all. Happy Memorial Day. On a sad note, John Yang lost his father yesterday. John is here this morning, brother. My heart goes out to you. Let's be praying for him, for Mimoa, for the entire family. Martha, let's go to God in prayer this time. Father, we love you. We thank you for life. We thank you, Father, for just allowing us, God, to be able to have a relationship with you. We thank you, God, that you are the God of all comfort and that you comfort us in our troubles. I especially pray at this time that you will be with the Yang family. I pray you will comfort them. I pray, Father, you give them peace that transcends all understanding. Come and wrap your arms around them. Be with all the families of our servicemen and women at this time, especially all those who have lost loved ones, because I know this is a tough time for them. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for all that have given their lives as a sacrifice to this country. I pray, Father, that we'll never take their service for granted. We love you, Lord. We ask and I will pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, tomorrow is Memorial Day. And I've simply titled this morning's message, Remember. And I'm going to be making some two quick points. The idea of Memorial Day, I'm told, came about in 1868, and the whole idea initially was to remember the Civil War dead. And later on, people felt no, we needed to involve everybody that's ever fought and died in any war that America has ever been involved with. Because of the sacrifice of a lot of men and women, you and I enjoy many, many freedoms in this country. And I am speaking to you this morning, even as somebody who's not an American, where a lot of people gave their lives so that you and I can gather like this and worship God without fear. Many gave their lives so that you and I can speak what's in our hearts. And we have the freedom of speech. Yes, we have freedom of speech, but that speech is still limited. There are certain things you cannot say, and you better not say, or somebody's going to come talk to you. But there are things we enjoy as a result of the service of many men and women. This family had just moved into this town, and they were trying to place membership in this particular church. And as they walked into their building, one of the things as you walk through the foyer, was a bulletin board. And they had pictures of young men and women who had died in the service of their country. There were members of that congregation on the board. And they had little flags next to their name. And this little five-year-old boy was standing there with his parents. And the minister came over and the boy says, who are these people? And the pastor said, well, these are the men and women who died in the service. And so, it's time to start church. He said, let's go in. It's time for service. The young man said, I ain't going in. He says, why? He says, these people died. You just told me these people died during the service. I'm not going into the service. He obviously didn't understand what was going on. But a lot of people have sacrificed their lives. And as a matter of fact, this time I want to ask, if you've ever been in the military or served in some capacity, can I go ahead and have you stand up at this time and want to recognize you? Amen. Thank you. But see, as we begin this morning, I have a question. What does Memorial Day mean to you? Is it the beginning of summer? Is it a three-day weekend? Is it eating and grilling and visiting people? Is it the Indianapolis 500? Is it buying a new car? You notice, I don't know why they have these specials on Memorial Day. Some people wait till this weekend to go out and buy a new car. But what does it mean? I believe it's a time of remembrance. I want to make two quick points this morning. Remember the deceased. And I also remember the living. Acts chapter 9. Let's talk about remembering the deceased. Acts chapter 9. We'll begin reading in verse 32. Acts chapter 9, beginning verse 36. The Bible says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood there around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, then got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Great story. Many of us have read this and know about it. This disciple of Jesus, Tabitha, Dorcas, in Greek, had passed away. I've been to 3 funerals in the last 3 weeks. And death is something that is inevitable. We are all going to go from this place one day. We just don't know when. And it's a tough thing to lose a loved one. And all our servicemen and women that have lost their lives, their families are hurting, especially during this time, during this weekend, because they remember their loved one. But this disciple of Jesus also died. And the Bible says tells us that the disciples were crying. It's okay to cry. As a matter of fact, there's a problem if somebody passes and you're not crying. Because what that tells me is that you are not really that close to that person. Because when we lose somebody that was very dear to us, it affects us. It's as if a part of our body is missing. And so it's okay to grieve. It's okay to mourn. That's the way God created us. Now, these guys found out that Peter was nearby, and so they went and grabbed him. He says, when he got there, he saw them, they were all crying, and they took him to where they had laid her body. Remember that back then, they didn't have any funeral homes. Today, when somebody passes, the first thing you do is call the funeral home, and they'll come pick up the body. They didn't have that back then. And that's why they would bury their dead very quickly. Muslims still do the same today, where if somebody dies today as a Muslim, they will bury you the next day. Because, again, from science and biology, we know that the body does not start decaying until the third day. And so they buried people very quickly. But Peter got there the day after, she was still lying there. They washed the body and get it ready for burial. And when he got there, something very interesting happened. They told him that, you know what, this lady was always doing good, and as a matter of fact, and helping the poor. They showed Peter the robes and all the items of clothing that Dorcas had made while she was alive. And he says, you know what? I need all of you to get out. I wonder where he learned that. Remember, Jesus had done something very similar. When he raised the little girl from the dead, Jesus had arrived, went in with Peter, James, and John, and told everybody else to get out. But in this case, he just said, everybody, out. He prayed, and he raised up the dead woman. But I want us to notice something. I started talking about this on Mother's Day. When Peter got there, they were telling Peter how awesome this disciple was. They were showing him the robes, talking to him about how she was always helping the poor. And I started to make the point a couple of weeks ago that the works of our life need to speak for us. Let the works of your life speak for you. One of these days, you are not going to be here. I'm not going to be here. But I pray that the works of our life, the words that we've spoken, will speak for us. When you and I leave this place, what are people going to remember about us? What will people remember when you and I are gone? The works that Tabitha had done spoke for her. You know, my wife and I just came back yesterday, late afternoon, from San Antonio. And Jesse Tolliver, Mike Tolliver's mom, was buried. And my wife and I are very, very close to that family. Extremely close. I can honestly tell you that there is no one single individual that has impacted my life as an adult more than Mike Tolliver. A lot of what I am today and I've learned in the ministry, I learned from him. And my goal and my desire as an evangelist has always been, everything they've taught us, we want to pass it down. That's all I've done in the last 25 years of being in the ministry. Whether it's in Africa and now here. And that's why I'm very excited that now our staff is now six. Because everything that Sarah and I know about the ministry, about building a church, we're passing on down to John and Marisabel. We're going to be passing on to Stephen and Roxanne. That's what this is all about. And I pray that as the church gets bigger, you know, the staff gets bigger so that we can continue to reach the lost. That's our goal. That's our desire. But I know that I'm doing this because I know I'm not going to be here forever. But you see, the question is, when our time comes, what will people say about us? Believe it or not, Jesse Tolliver's illness was very sudden and unexpected. As a matter of fact, Mike's father is still alive, Archer Tolliver. He's 87. And if anything, she was the one always getting him ready and taking care of him. And all of a sudden, you know, she felt this little pain. And by the next day, it was gone. Now, she had a doctor's appointment already. And so she mentioned it to the doctor. You know, by the way, I had this pain the other day, but today it's gone. And the lady ordered a CAT scan. And lo and behold, stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Just like that. But the thing that was so amazing about Jency, about that lady, so remarkable, was she never showed fear. Never once did she complain. Like, why me, God? Not once.
If anything, she got home. I remember my calling me that same afternoon and telling me the news. And saying this probably was going to kill my mom. This was August of 2010. Doctors will tell you, you know, people ask how much time do I have? It can be weeks, it can be 3 months. And she just passed away last week. She was telling one of her Bible Talk leaders about the diagnosis, you know. So, what happened at the doctor? What did the doctor say? What did this scan reveal? You know what Jensen said? With a smile on her face, there's been a change of plans. So, you know what? Here's what they found. This probably was going to kill me. She's married to her husband for 61 years. Remarkable woman. Every time we'll go for discipling, when we're in Africa, we'll fly down to South Africa to be with the Tollivers. Archer and Jensen, my experience, they literally live next door to them. And so we will always stay with them. She was the most hospitable woman I ever met in my life. I remember one occasion, I'd gone down for major surgery, and Mike picked me up after, you know, I woke up, and I made it back to Archer and Jensen's place, and I was taking a nap the entire afternoon, and I woke up, you know, and I walked into the living room, literally like this. And she looked up, and she saw me, and she go, "It is alive." She was just that kind of person. Again, I remember very, 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 very vividly. I believe my eldest daughter, Gina, was about 10 months old at the time. And we're sitting down on Mike's porch. And she looks at me. She goes, "Richard, Gina is not a happy baby." I said, "You know why? Because you are not happy." And she went on. For the next several minutes, just talking to me about my demeanor, about just how I wear my emotions on my sleeve. Say, "You need to change if this kid is going to be happy." I mean, there's so many things I can tell you. And I want us to remember the deceased. There are a lot of people in your life and in your family, in your upbringing, that have had a tremendous impact on you. Like they will say in the world, you and I are standing on the shoulders of giants. So many people had a great deal to say about what you and I have become. And we got to remember them. It may have been 10 years, it may have been 15 years ago that person passed away, but remember to thank God for them. I mean, there'll be days I'll be sitting down and I'll just remember just different people and different things they said to me and did for me. Very, very important that we remember the deceased. Because one day you and I are not going to be here. One day we will be gone. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 very quickly. I was reading this the other day and it was very sobering. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 in verse 11. The Bible says, "There is no remembrance of men of old. And even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow." That's an amazing thing. You and I are here right now, and people remember us, obviously, and we're going to die. But this verse is talking about, you know what? There's going to come a time people are not going to remember that you and I were even here. I don't know how far back you can trace your heritage or your ancestry. You know, there's a website called Ancestry.com that people are really into these days. And people are trying to go back and find out more about their ancestors and their roots. And I think that's a good thing. You know, sometimes you'll find a lot of good and sometimes you'll find some bad stuff. You know, people are finding out, "Oh, my great-great-great-grandfather was a criminal." It's like, uh-oh. Okay. Or this one was this and this one did this. But the point I'm making is, you and I would not be here if all those people had not lived their lives. Are you with me? We got to remember the deceased. "Say goodbye to me, but not to the thought of me." We got to remember our loved ones and the people that have had a tremendous impact in our lives. And that we talk to our children about people like that. Amen? Very, very important. I lost my mother about 20 years ago. And I thank God for her very, very often. Same thing with my dad. But I was a lot closer to my mother growing up than I was my father. And obviously my kids never had a chance to meet her. And so I would talk to them about her. As a matter of fact, I see a lot of her in them. And I'll never forget, there was one day again, I was having one of my moments, and you will have those moments. I was in my office, and I was just crying my eyes out. I was just missing my mom. And I'll forget it. My daughter walked in and saw me crying. And she knew exactly, you know, what was going on. She didn't even have to ask. And she looked at me and she said, "Missing your mommy?" I said, "Yeah." It was several years ago. And she came and gave me a hug. She said, "I'll be your mommy." You see, it's very important that we remember the deceased. The USS Arizona and Hawaii, on an average day, I'm told that about 750 visitors, you know, visit that monument. But Memorial Day weekend, that number jumps from 750 to 4,600. The same thing goes for the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. On an average day, we're told about 3,000 people visit that memorial. On this weekend, it's almost tripled that number. There's just something about this weekend where people feel they have to go out and remember those that have given their lives in the service of this country. And all I'm saying to us this morning is, not only do we remember those folks, let's remember people also in our family. Let's remember people that we grew up with, our friends and our relatives that have had a tremendous impact on us, and let us thank God for their lives. You know, people often ask me, "Where did you learn to speak English?" I say, "Well, from back home where I'm from. From the moment you can talk, you're taught in English." But I can honestly tell you, a few weeks ago, I got a phone call that the lady who taught me English, she was a high school assistant principal when I was there, and then later on, she became principal after I had left, that she passed on. Mrs. Doherty. That is the reason I cannot speak English today, is because of that woman. I cried. I know the last two times I was home, I didn't get a chance to go visit her, but prior to that, and when I was living at home, I would go visit her. Obviously, after I got married, I took Sarah, I took my kids to go meet her. That woman taught me everything I knew about English. I would go for her, what you guys call tutorials here, for extra lessons. That's what we called it back home. And I'll never forget, I'll be standing right next to her, and she'll say, "Now, what is this? Is this a noun or a verb or whatever?" And I'll get it wrong. And Ms. Doherty would grab me on the behind and pinch me. And I learned very quickly, you know, to stiffen my behind up. But you see, I thought I was smart. And when I did that, she would grab me right underneath by my triceps. Okay? At that age, I hadn't figured that one out yet. And I didn't have those kind of muscles. And she would grab me underneath here and hold it until I got it right. Now, what do you think? You think I went home and told my mom, "Oh, yes, what Ms. Doherty did?" She taught my mother English. She taught me English. She taught my older sister. She taught my younger brother. I was more afraid of that woman than I was my own mother. But I remember her fondly. Remember the deceased. Because you and I are standing on the shoulders of giants. Amen? Amen. Secondly, very quickly, remember the living. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Remember the living. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Paul writes, "For this reason, ever since I have heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope for which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. You see what Paul is saying here? Obviously, Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, and he says, you know what? I have not stopped giving thanks for you. He says, I keep asking God to give you the ability to know him better. Constantly praying for them. That's one way we can remember the living. Is to remember to pray for people. Our prayer should not always be, oh God, I need this. God, help me with this. God, get me out of this. I dare say 3/4 of our prayers need to be prayed for other people. Amen? You say, well, Richard, if I don't spend time praying for myself, who's going to pray for me? My Bible tells me that God already knows what you need before you ask him. Are you with me? But it's important that we pray for other people. I'm also convicted when I read these letters, a lot of times, you can go read all of them. Paul never prays for the Christians to have any physical stuff. He wasn't, oh God, please help so and so to get a better job. I'm not saying there's anything bad with that. Help this person to sell their house. I'm not saying there's anything bad with that necessarily. It was always spiritual. Amen. It was always, God, help this person to know you better. Give this person wisdom. Because I believe that if we take care of the spiritual, God will take care of the physical. The spiritual is the most important thing. Amen? But we need to be praying for one another. Look in Philippians chapter 1. Just flip a few pages, and Philippians should show up. Philippians chapter 1, in verse 3. Paul writes, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Listen to this. He said, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. What was the secret behind Paul praying for all these churches? He says, you know what? I have you in my heart. Amen? So it's not just a question of, okay, I need to start praying for so-so and so-so and so-so. Have people in your heart. And the prayers will automatically follow. You won't have to conjure it up. It will just happen. Amen? That's the key. That's the secret. We need to be praying for people. I believe that's where we start. As we try and remember the living. Pray for people. People need your prayers. I need your prayers. Amen? I mean, I get very encouraged when people tell me, you know, bro, I'm praying for you. Sometimes Christians will come up to me and I will go up to them and I say, what can I be praying for you about? It makes a difference. Our elders, you know, we have a directory that, you know, all of us as members, we're in there with our names and address and phone numbers and stuff like that. Do you know they're in the habit of praying through that list? Over everybody in the church. Why do they do that? I think because, well, the shepherds, that's what they're supposed to do. Not quite. It's because they have you on their hearts. Are you with me? That's where it begins. And so that's something you can use. Grab that directory. Pray for people. Say, well, I don't know them. It's okay. God knows them. God knows what they're going through. Amen? And also, I believe it will help you learn and get to know people a lot faster. You'll be able to place the name with the face. You know, I heard about Peter Sterling a while back, but I never made the connection. You know, and he also, and Carol, and they also came to Gen Z's funeral. And, but again, I'd never seen him before. You know, but I saw him walk in. I saw him go say hello to the tall of us. And later on that afternoon, they called me because they had to leave. So, oh, okay. Now I put it all together. Huntley, his brother who's in the church in Houston. Oh, I saw them at the funeral. I had to put it all together. Are you with me? That's what pictures do. They help you to put the name and the place and whatever, put it all together. Remember the living by praying for them. You say, I don't have time. Oh, you didn't just say that. Come on, man. What are you doing? That you don't have time to pray for your brothers and sisters. It always convicts me when you look at, for instance, at the end of Romans, in Romans chapter 16, Paul goes through this list of all the disciples in the church. It's like, greet so-and-so, greet this person, greet that person, greet this person, greet this person, greet this person. Oh, by the way, these people, they need to stop fighting. Get in there. Greet this person. How did he know all that? Because he knew these guys. Amen? It's very, very important. You've heard the saying, people really don't care how much you know and they don't know how much you care. I've never seen anybody in their deathbed going, yeah, could you go bring my diplomas or, you know, whatever. I want to observe those things before I leave. No. They're surrounded by their loved ones. Amen? We shouldn't be so busy that we don't have time to pray for one another. People need your prayers. I mean, we gave this out a while back. We were praying through all the different cities in Gwinnett. I pray you're still using it. Amen? Amen? Such that we have disciples in all these 22 cities in this town. In this county, I'm sorry. We got a lot of work to do. We got close to 1 million people in here. That we're trying to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we got to make sure that we're praying for the living. Again, thank God for all this modern technology we have today. You can connect with somebody. I mean, to me, the concept of email is still an amazing thing. I remember being in Africa in the early 90s and writing letters to the U.S. We didn't call a lot because it was very expensive. It was one of those, hello, it's good to hear your voice. Oh, I'm glad you do. And you're looking at time at the same time. Say hello to everybody. Bye. And you get the bill, $20. It was very expensive. And now you can send a message to somebody and instantly it gets to the other side of the world. That's an amazing thing. I mean, some of you young people, you have no idea what's going on. It's good to send texts. It's good to Skype. Skype is amazing to me. A lot of these brothers and sisters now in Africa, that's how I talk to them. You know, the computers now, most computers now, you know, there's a little camera and you can see them, they can see you and you're talking to them. And it costs me nothing. That's amazing to me. I'm paying for my, you know, my computer connection anyhow. But so in that sense, I'm not paying an extra charge to be able to talk to this person. And so what do I do? Hey, how you doing? Where are the kids? I want to see them. And before you know, we've been on Skype for an hour. I like free. Free is good. But you got to remember the living. Amen? Now, I think this generation, they've taken a little bit too far. Okay? Allow me to say that. What do I mean? You see two kids, two teenagers, standing right next to each other. And they're texting each other. Did you get my text? She's right there. Talk to her, man. Why do you have to sign? You're right there. I don't get that one. But the important thing is at least they're connecting with each other. And all I'm saying is there's so many ways of reaching out to people. Because you never know when somebody's going to go. Sometimes we have an idea. Sometimes we don't. A lot of times we don't. I remember going to San Antonio 4 weeks ago saying to go say my goodbye to Jency Tolliver. A lot of times you don't have a chance to say goodbye. That may be the last conversation you have with that person. And so I'm asking you this morning, who are the people you haven't heard from or spoken to in a while? Pick up the phone this afternoon. Call them up. Hey, long time. I just called to hear your voice. I just called because I was thinking about you. We got to connect back. This week I got an email from a friend. I haven't seen him since 1973. Very good friend of mine. When we were elementary school, we you know, he was my best friend. And we'll get to school early so we could play ping pong. And he wrote me and said, you know what, I'm going to be in the Atlanta area in August. Are you going to be in town? I'd love to come. I'd love to come to church and see you. I haven't seen him physically since 1973. Although we've talked on and on throughout that time. It's important that we remember the living. Because we're not always going to be here. Amen? That's one of the themes in the Bible. Constantly remember, remember, remember. Over 200 times in the scriptures. Because we tend to forget. And in closing, we all know the chapter and verse. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Where it talks about encourage one another daily. As long as it is called today. So that you will not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Very, very important. Family, friends, people we've lost contact with, it's important to remember them. Amen? That's what this weekend is all about. But I pray we'll take the time to remember the deceased. And more importantly, that we'll take the time to remember the living. Because the deceased, right now, they can't hear you. They can't see you. You can't see them. But the living can. I'd rather have you tell me you love me now than wait till when they put me in the box and I can't hear you and then you express that. Tell me now. And I will tell you now. Amen? Amen. God bless you all.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Father, to be in a free country, a country where we have freedom, God. Father, I remember leaving my country, the Ivory Coast, God, in war, in times of war, and come here. And Father, have peace, God. Father, and I thank you so much for the lives of all the men and women, Father, first of all, that are still fighting, Father, and those that have fought and have died. God, I pray so much that you comfort their families. Father, I pray so much that you help us take to heart the message today, God, that would truly express, Father, to our loved ones, especially to everybody, and how much we love them, that we remember the living, God, and Father, that we express how much they mean to us and what they have done for us. God, I pray so much that we truly give us a heart like Paul, God. That's something that I'm truly amazed by, and how, God, he always prayed for others, God. And I pray that you help us be like that. Father, that you help us truly have such hearts, God. Father, I pray so much that you help us remember those that are passed on, Father, and Father, that we never forget, Father, that the memory of them never goes out of our mind, God. Amen. Father, come and be with us. Come and guide us. Come and be with us through this day. I pray so much in the name of your mighty son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, let's stand up. We want everyone to move across. Let's make believe there's no aisle in the middle. And we'll sing God Bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with
my home, sweet home.
Amen. You're dismissed.